I am thankful this morning for the grace of God that can be accessed by faith. Ephesians chapter 2 is not our text. Turn to Hebrews 11 if you would. Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now listen to these words, "not of yourselves, for it's a gift of God." If you think about that for a moment, faith to believe God is a gift that He's given. You see, God has instilled into every individual the ability to have faith. Where we direct that faith becomes very important. For faith in Christ alone saves. But everyone in this room has the ability to believe. And you act upon those beliefs day in and day out. But who are you believing? What are you believing? I want us this morning to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to read here four verses, beginning verse number 8. There are many verses about the man Abraham. But I want us to notice actually three verses, 8, 9, and 10. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the marvelous privilege that we have to believe. Lord, I pray that our belief system, our faith, might not be in self, might not be in this world, but it might be in you and what you say. Bless this morning from your word. Speak to our hearts. Glorify yourself with what is said and done in this place. And for that we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, there's a phrase that refers to Abraham. And then it says that he is the father of all them that believe. The father of all them that believe. Interesting. He's not the first believer. But from the loins of Abraham came forth the Jews, and of course Christians, and even Muslims look back to Abraham as their father, and he's esteemed by all of those. In the Bible, Abraham was presented to us as a great example of a man who lived by faith. If you were to read verses 8 down to verse 19, you would find many things said about him. In James chapter 2 and verse number 23, he's called the friend of God. Think about that. God's friend. And of course, we find the Word of God says this in chapter 2, verse 23. Says, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." And so we see something very interesting here. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him. That's a mathematical term. Impute means to be put onto his account. In other words, what do we find about Abraham? We find that Abraham was a sinful man like the rest of us, but there's something unique about him that is not true of the rest of the world, and that is he believed God and was counted to him as to righteousness. And then he's called the friend of God. That's interesting. When we go back and look at the life of Abraham, when we watch Abraham leaving his home to follow God at the age of 75, you would have said, there goes a man of God. And yet we find that there were some moments where he did not look like a man of God as he lied to Pharaoh about his wife, later sinning with an Egyptian handmaid by the name of Hagar. And we probably would have said that fellow Abraham is a phony. So what's the truth about Abraham? In our world, many people claim to possess genuine faith. And sometimes you'll ask somebody and they will say, well, I'm saved, I'm right with the Lord. But are they really? Is that true in the life? Many people claim to know God, but do they have the proof in their life that they really know God? Does the evidence in their lives say they're genuinely saved? I'm not talking about what I can see in your life, but what you can see in your life. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe he's speaking of physical marks, but at the same time, there are spiritual marks that come upon the life of an individual who has genuine faith. And so I'd like this morning to look at some telltale marks of genuine faith. Go with me to verse number 8 once again and notice the first part. By faith when he was called, or by faith Abraham when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. The mark of faith's experience, I believe, is shown to us in the fact that there was a call that was made upon Abraham and he obeyed that call. Abraham was a lost pagan, living in a place called the Ur of the Chaldees. He was raised in a society that worshipped the moon god. He was headed to hell. But we are told that God called him to go with him. Now, we do not know exactly how God spoke to Abraham. Perhaps in his heart, perhaps there were words that he could hear. I doubt that. But he was told to leave the land that he was living in, and to go to a new place. God moved on his heart and called him out. Now, I don't know what you've experienced in your lifetime, but I've experienced a little bit of that as I felt the call of God to leave from Bible college and travel 2,500 miles to Seattle, Washington. Now, I knew where I was going. I had a map to get me there, and I had some people waiting there to help me. But Abraham is asked of God to go into a country he's never been in, go to where he doesn't know anybody. Matter of fact, he's not even given a map as to how to get there. But God moved upon his heart, and he followed him. By the way, this is how faith comes to every person that has it. There's nobody that wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I think I'll get right with God today. No, we don't say that. We're dead in our sins and our trespasses, according to Ephesians 2. We are blinded by the god of this world, we find in 2 Corinthians 4:4. We don't have a desire for God. We have no ability to get to God. In other words, we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. There is no way for us to get into the presence of God by our own doing. One day, however, God begins to move in a lost sinner's heart. And it's always interesting to hear the stories of what took place in the lives of people. But somehow God quickens that dead spirit and causes the sinner to become aware of his sins. He begins to realize, hey, I have sinned. Not just sin that's causing him problem, but sin that is against God. By the way, did you know every sin you commit, whether it be against somebody else or yourself or whatever, it is ultimately against God. And he is made aware of the wrath of God and the coming judgment upon him. The Bible tells us he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. And why? Because he believes not that Jesus is Son of God. You and I, we are in a position of condemnation. But God somehow awakened us to the fact that there is judgment coming from that condemnation. He shows the sinner that he is on his way to hell. And he has only one hope of salvation. And so God takes that sinner and points him to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. You might be lost, but God said, if you will come to me through faith in my Son, I will save you from your sins and deliver you from my wrath and give you eternal life. By the way, we call this all conviction. We'll not get saved without it. Because through God's marvelous Spirit, he convicts the heart of our sin that we might realize, hey, I need Christ. And listen, we find out we cannot get our way to God other than through him. Why? Because we believe what God says about it. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Except he draws through his conviction. Except he draws through the power of the Spirit of God, we will not come to him. I ask you the question, have you experienced the divine call that brings conviction of sin? That's the first step, really, in acquiring genuine faith in God. We also find that it involves an individual choice. We are told that Abraham heard the call of the Lord. What's it say? He obeyed. He did what God told him to do. By the way, doing didn't save him. Faith in what God said to do saved him. There'd be a difference in that. Because the Bible says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The second step in acquiring genuine faith of God is to obey the call of God. What's the call of God? It's telling us that we are sinful and we need a Savior, and we believe it. That's his call upon our life. When you come, Jesus promises to receive you. Aren't you glad of that? He promises to keep us. It's not enough just to know you're a lost sinner. It's not enough just to be convicted of your sin. You must come to him by faith, trusting Jesus for your salvation. Don't fear when he calls. He also gives you faith to believe and be saved. Thank God for that. For by grace, what? Are you saved? Through what? And that not of yourselves. It is what? A gift of God. God gives you the ability to believe. And when you will believe the proper thing, believing what Jesus did for you, salvation is yours. By the way, did you notice that Abraham was not called to sign a prayer card? Do you notice that he was not asked to join something? He was not asked to pray a certain prayer. He was called by God to go with God. I believe Jesus reaches out to fallen men and women, and he says to us, follow me. 17 times in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus asked people to follow him. He called his disciples this way. He called Matthew this way. He called many others this way. And he calls each of us to follow him. In John 10:27, I'm getting mixed up. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So we've heard the voice of God. He knows us. We follow after him. Salvation comes down to you hearing his call and going after him. Following Jesus means you will love what he loves, hate what he hates, go where he goes, do what he does. Again, I ask, do you have this mark? Do you have the marks of genuine faith? What happened? He believed God and obeyed. You see, his belief changed the way he behaved. Behavior doesn't change the way you believe. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you have the marks of genuine faith? There's the mark of faith expression. It says in verse number 8 in the latter part, he went out not knowing whither he went. A statement of faith. He didn't know where he was going to end up, but he trusted the Lord to lead him along the right path. That's exactly what the Lord does. He takes us where we've not been before. Faith is not going and doing the same old thing. Faith is God extending you. Can I say this? Past your comfort zone. Taking you into realms that you never thought of before when you already believe him. God's not looking for people who have everything figured out. He's looking for people who will trust him to direct their path. He's looking for people who will let him be the Lord, who will fall in line behind him and go where he leads. He's looking for people who will follow him. Sometimes his road is tough. Sometimes the path he has is very hard. But I can tell you from experience, they're always the best way to go. Faith knows this and lives as God leads. Faith, we find, lived in God's path, but also looked for God's promises. When Abraham arrived in the land of Canaan, he found it was occupied by wicked heathen nations. Yet God promised him that one day all this land would be his and his offspring. You can find it in Genesis 13. And as he walked as a stranger in the very land that God promised to give him, he knew that one day all of God's present promises would be fulfilled. And thus he didn't use fleshly means to try to acquire it. He just simply believed God. And he goes, he obeys, and eventually we find that we have a land called Israel. This is the essence of genuine faith. Faith believes that God will do everything he has promised to do. It looks beyond the appearance of circumstances which are at hand and trust God to keep his promises. Faith knows the promises of God are valid, even though their fulfillment might not be seen or even thought possible. Faith knows that God is as good as his word. And regardless of the promise, and God's many, many of them, faith knows that God will do as he said. Every promise God has made is as good as cash in a hand, and faith knows it. It's that assurance down inside. Faith leans on God's providence. As he journeyed from place to place, Abraham's life was not always easy. By the way, if you've been saved very long, has it been an easy path? No, not at all. Sometimes we try to lure people to become saved and say, listen, if you get saved, be like a bed of roses. We forget to tell them there's a whole lot of thorns on those rose bushes. And that be true in life. And yet God has some marvelous things to do as we journey that life that's full of thorns. His life was not always easy. You'll find times when there was a victory in the life of Abraham, but you'll also find times of failure. There were times of joy, there were times of sorrow. There were times of righteousness, but we also find there were times of rebellion. There was times of faith, and there were some times of foolishness. And yet during all the times of life, somehow he trusted the Lord to bring into his life exactly what he needed. He lived as a pilgrim in a strange land, and he leaned on the Lord for every need. He looked to God to keep his word, to fulfill his promises. He leaned on the providence of God and trusted God to do that which was best in his life. Have you ever wondered why God was not giving you what you thought was best? And yet only to find out what seemed like that which would be the worst decision to make and the worst direction to go, God was using that to give to you the best. Faith understands that. Do you have the marks of genuine faith? Then I would say to you this morning, too, there's the mark of faith's expectation. Notice verse number 10 with me. It says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was expecting God to do something. It was a faith that looked beyond the here and now and embraced a time far in the future. You see, his faith expected a heavenly hope. By the way, hope in the Word of God is not a wish. It's an understanding of that which is sure, and we have that inside of us, which is an assurance. That word hope, there's really a good word for assurance. And we have the hope that God is what? Given us something in the future. It expects, by the way, a heavenly home. Are you excited about the prospect of heaven? There are a lot of folks, they say that this is this world is hell on earth. For the Christian, this is the closest thing to hell you'll ever have. But it's certainly not heaven. Congress reminds us of that every day. And you and I live in a sin-cursed world, but we have a hope and an understanding and a realization of a place called heaven. As we go through this world, we know we're not home yet. We know there's a city called heaven, the New Jerusalem. We'll settle down and wander no more. And like Abraham, genuine faith that occupies the hearts of God's children longs for that heavenly home. Oh, you're not excited about the prospect of dying. You don't say, boy, bring it on. I want some pain so I can die so I can go to heaven. You know, most of us say, Lord, just let me go to sleep and I'll wake up in heaven. To me, that'd be the ultimate. I think of that every night before I go to bed. Wonder if when I close my eyes, will I open them in heaven? And we have that tremendous prospect. I guarantee you, if you got faith, there's a pull to a better land. I want you to notice what kind of land faith can look for. We go to the book of John in chapter 14, we find that he says he's going to what? Go and prepare a place for us. Faith is looking for a prepared home. Now you tell me, according to the Word of God, how long did it take for God to create the heavens and the earth? 6 days. By the way, I'll say this. If you think it was 6 eons of time and it took 14 billion years, like a lot of folks are trying to say, all I can say is you got a PhD, which simply means post hole digger. And you need to get the screw that's loose in your head tied into the right bolt to Lord Jesus Christ. So you're ridiculing that? Listen. It's a whole lot easier for me to believe that God spoke this world into existence in 6 days. I sometimes wonder why he took so long. As to think that somehow, out of nothing, something exploded, and now we have all of this. Do you know what you are, according to those people? You are a product fragmentation of an explosion. Four or five years ago, I got members of my family that think blowing up things is really cool. I knew they were up to it, and they got in a big old pumpkin, I believe it was. Might have been a watermelon. And they go out here, kind of my backyard, probably on church property, and they stick this piece of dynamite. I mean, you can go buy this stuff. It wasn't a cherry bomb. It wasn't what we used to call M80s. I think it was about a quarter of a stick of dynamite, they call these things. I don't even know what they're called. What are they called, Greg? Okay. And all these guys, I mean, they're all standing around giddy and excited, and they all back away real fast, and pretty soon, kaboom. I dare you to go out there and find any of that pumpkin. According to those folks, that's what you are. It took God 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. In John chapter 14, he said he was going to the Father and he was going to what? Prepare us a place. I do not know if he's been building or what he's been doing all these years, but I'm thinking to myself, it took 6 days to have this and now it's been 2,000 years. What in the world is this place going to be like? I'll guarantee you this, your faith will not be disappointed when you get to heaven. It's a prepared place. Just for you. Just for you. Faith is looking for that prepared place. Faith is looking for a perfect home. This home will be built by God, and God does not make junk. He's preparing for his people a perfect land designed for a perfect people. And none of the things that blemish this land will ever be found there. It's a glorious place beyond description, and faith longs to be there. You have the marks of genuine faith. Faith is looking for a permanent home. Did you notice in chapter number 11, talking about the foundations? This home is not a temporary home like that which Abraham lived in, tents that he moved from one place to another, or yea, the homes we live in. We live, most of us, in a place where this river that's not more than a half a mile from us over here could break loose and we could all be sitting underwater at this particular time. God has spared us that. But as we look up and down the Missouri Valley, we know he's not spared many people of that. And so they've had to move into new towns, and there's whole small towns up and down the Missouri Valley that I'm not sure they're going to be there any longer. But our heavenly home's a permanent place. Never fade away, never fall away, never rust away, never rot away. And guess what? You won't have to repaint it. You won't have to call the plumber. I don't know if we'll need plumbing, but anyways, you won't.
everything is going to be marvelous. Wow.
How many of you folks wear glasses? Huh? Good. A bunch of blind people here. From time to time, you just need to take your glasses off so people know what you look like in heaven. With my glasses off, I guarantee you look better than with them on. I'm only kidding. You look blurry. My eyes have a little bit of a cross to them. What's that mean? Oh, thank God for glasses. I'd be seeing two of you. How many have all of your teeth still? Not everybody in here. Some of you have lost them, haven't you? 2 weeks ago, I went to the doctor. I didn't lose it. He took it. Won't be losing any teeth. Won't need any glasses. Do you know who's going to be out of business? The Energizer Bunny. Oh, the batteries for anything. I can throw my hearing aids away. Amen. I need hearing aids. I need batteries to hear. I need batteries to talk. I mean, this is some world we live in. But looking for a permanent home. Foundation is in God. Genuine faith embraces the truth of a better land, and it longs to be there. Real faith refuses to settle down here because we know we're moving. Amen? We know we're moving. And here's the neat part. You don't have to pack anything. Because when he takes you into his city, it's already furnished. Question, do you have the marks of faith? Abraham did. Those things did not get him saved. They were a result of his salvation. It says by faith he did these things. Remember how it started, by faith. Who do you believe? Do you believe God about yourself? Do you believe God when he said that you are a sinner? We're sinners. All, he says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says there's none righteous, no, not one. We're in this thing together, brethren. We're all in that spot. Do you believe what God said about that? And have you believed that Jesus Christ came as the perfect Son of God, not to die for his sins, because he had none, but in your place. In your place. Aaron, it's your mother, right? You're in a court of law, you better say right or you're going to have some really bad times here. Does she ever give you anything? Yeah. You're a little pokey in saying that. Yeah. What do you do with it? You throw it away? Or you keep it?
Keep it.
You receive it. You keep it. God's given us a gift. You do not believe in your heart that your mom would ever give you something that would destroy you. You don't believe that. But you do believe that whatever she gave you would be for your help and for your good. It's true of God, amen. Who do you believe? So I believe the devil. Well, you better really listen to what he has to say. Because he's a deceiver and a liar. And you better have some discernment on that one. For by grace are you what?
Saved.
How?
By faith.
Through faith. That not of what?
Yourself.
It's what? Faith. Faith is a gift of God. God gives you the ability to believe in him. Use it. Use it. For your mom to give you something and you not use it would be foolish. And likewise, we are foolish when God gives us such a marvelous gift and we won't take it and use it. Father, today, work in our hearts. You love us. You care for us. You provide for us. You've given us salvation. And all you've ever required is we believe you. And somehow we just so often want to walk away from that thought and that idea. When in reality, it's the greatest, most marvelous decision we never make in our lives. I pray for anyone in this room today that doesn't know you as Savior, has not put their faith and trust in you, that today would be that day. They might recognize that before you they have sinned, but at the same time, you have borne that sin for them on the cross of Calvary if they believe in you. Work and bless in these moments, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.